The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What a week one. Wild NFL Sunday. Surprises, upsets galore. 8 underdogs won outright on Sunday. 5 road teams, the most in 35 years. That is Stephen A. Smith. That is the Hall of Famer Michael Irvin. I am Molly Karen Rose. Hi, gentlemen. Hope everyone had a good weekend.
I hope you had a wonderful weekend.
I did.
Good morning, bro. How you doing?
I know
you ready to go, but you when you show up on First Take, first thing is the pleasantries. You say good morning. How you doing? You understand?
Listen, I have no issue with saying good morning to everybody because it is a great morning after, like you just said, Hot Molly, a great weekend of football because now we have information and we can start making understandings about what teams can
for
do
sure.
off that information.
And we'll see how much credence we take after week one because when I said surprises, there certainly were a lot. But Stephen A., tell everyone it's kind of a new day here on First Take.
Well, listen, this is the second week of a new day, essentially. Last week was our first week. Obviously, Max Kellerman has moved on. He's doing big things with his own television show coming up. Encourage everybody to watch that. Obviously, he's doing radio every morning with Keyshawn and Jay Williams. Molly and I are still here. It's really about me going up against a whole potpourri of individuals. Michael Irvin, he had the audacity to show up for a second Monday. He'll be here every Monday. My man Keyshawn Johnson will be here most Tuesdays. Marcus Spears Wagyu will be here most Wednesdays. Dan Orlovsky, Jeff Saturday, those guys like that will be in the mix. Mm-hmm. Tim Tebow will be every Friday. Ryan Clark, Dominique Foxworth, Mina Kimes. The list goes on and
whole
on.
Slew.
Plus, people in the world of sports and entertainment who've always talked about wanting to get at me by sitting in that chair. You can have your opportunity to do so as well. That's the new day here at First Take, and I just want to make sure to remind everybody that's how we're rolling moving forward.
And that's
sure.
a good thing, Steve. Everywhere you go, everybody wants to get up here and debate. Everywhere you go, every fan, man, I wish I, man, you got to tell them. I said, just apply for the thing and you get to tell them yourself.
You're like, but I got the lead spot. All right, let's go, guys.
So it's all good.
Well, what if I told you Jameis Winston would outplay Aaron Rodgers and take care of the football better? You'd say, I've lost my damn mind. He's a bad man. Well, that's exactly what happened. New Orleans destroying Green Bay 38-3. Winston showing that big arm, using his legs, 14-20. 148 yards, 5 total TDs and 0 picks. Rodgers' stat line, 15-28, 138 yards, 2 INTs, no TDs. You might have thought I switched those stat lines.
Absolutely.
No, sir. Let's hear from the quarterbacks.
That was for the city, you know, so shout out to the city of New Orleans. You know, we did that for them. We knew how much it would mean to get a great victory for that reason. They've been through so much. And for us to be able to celebrate this victory with them, it's just hats off to them for their resilience, right? Because they motivated us, they inspired us to come out there and ball.
This is a good kick in the you-know-where. Hopefully get us going in the right direction. We, you know, probably felt like we were going to go up and down the field on whoever they had out there. And that obviously wasn't the case.
Wouldn't have prognosticated that I'd be asking this question after week one, Michael Irvin, but how bad did Aaron Rodgers look?
Yeah, he looked bad. And here's the thing. It's okay to look bad, especially with all the new things that we have coming into a football season. Now, nobody really has training camp and nobody really plays in any preseason game. But if you spent the offseason creating a situation like he created the situation and then you come back in that first game, Stephen A., you cannot play like that. You cannot play like that because it looked like you did not want to play. And some of the mistakes that we've seen that we saw him make yesterday, that we never see Aaron Rodgers make. Aaron Rodgers is so careful with that football. And he was throwing the football around and being a little loose with it. But the whole team played bad, too, now. That defense, I mean, we'll talk about it, but the Saints went up and down the field.
Let me get a bit specific because I want to lean back on you with your football expertise. First of all, let me get something out of the way first. We all know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He's a bad man.
He's a bad man.
You know how I feel about him. That was the most atrocious performance of his career. He was so awful He was so awful that embarrassing doesn't even begin to describe. And I'm going to say something that I don't say about too many professional athletes. And I'm certainly not accusing as if I know definitively this is true. I'm just talking about, the optics, how it looked. It looked like he didn't care. He looked like he did not give a damn about how he played or how this outcome ended up being. He looked a bit lackadaisical, a bit laid back. He should have. It was the most shameful performance of Aaron Rodgers' career. To throw the ball, he threw the ball behind Devontae Adams one time and got it picked off by Adebo. I believe that's how he spelled it. Paulson Adebo. I believe that's how he pronounces his name, okay? Then he flings up the football. He threw it behind Devontae Adams for the first interception, overthrew somebody else when he got intercepted by Marcus Williams, okay? It was, and then to sit up there and to take offense, because that's how it seemed when he talked about when Matt LaFleur came back and talked about how embarrassed we were. It was embarrassing because Devontae Adams was on the record in the press conference prior to the game talking about this is the most motivated we may have ever been. We are hyped. We ready to go to season. So we got that issue. But as bad as Aaron Rodgers looked, and it was atrocious, equally as bad as Matt LaFleur. And I'm going to tell you why. The entire team looked ill-prepared. Ill-prepared, number one. And number two, remember, they were a top 10 defense last year.
Yeah.
Top 10 against the pass, top 10 overall. Matt LaFleur replaces Mike Pettine as your defensive coordinator. You bring in Joe Barry, who didn't have the greatest resume in Detroit, who didn't have the greatest resume in Washington as a defensive coordinator. Why the hell is he your defensive coordinator? Because their defense didn't look that great either. That's what I'm saying, Mike. Yeah. That's what I saw.
There's so much Matt LaFleur can control now. Now, he can try to get a team ready. But what I saw looked like a team that spent all of the whatever training camp they had talking about what went on in the offseason instead of talking about what they need to do this season. And that looked like that was a problem. So I don't know how Matt LaFleur can get in the middle of that if those things are going on in the locker room and he's not in the locker
room. I also want to say, too, that pass rusher was all over him. He didn't have the greatest protection. They couldn't run the ball either. I do agree. He looked atrocious, but I just need to say that in his defense. But I want to come to you on this. Would you say this outcome was more about Rodgers' poor play or how sensational Jameis Winston looked, Michael?
Man, listen. And let's be real. We know that was an anomaly with Aaron Rodgers. That's not something that's going to happen ever with Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? He's not going to play that well again. It's the worst thing in the world for a football player to even have those words circling around him that he quit or gave up on his team. So I'm not even worried about that. I know he'll show up. But boy, what Jameis Winston did. Y'all can say what y'all want to say. Stephen A., what he did, and I always say this, folks, that hope will dictate effort. You give me hope, I will give you great effort. You give me no hope, you're human. I don't care who you are, what you do, you will give little effort or less effort. That's just human nature. And what Jameis Winston did was gave a football team, a city, and a region right now that needs hope, he gave them some hope.
He gave them hope. But let's dissect why he did just that. He did this just that because the Green Bay Packers were ill-prepared. He did just that because the defensive coordinator clearly didn't have his defense ready. He did just that because we're looking at him and we're saying the last time we saw him as a starting quarterback, he threw 33 interceptions in a season.
2019.
Okay. 33. I know it's
33 touchdowns, 30 interceptions.
33 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. Okay. That's what we're saying. Last night, yesterday, he did none of them. Mm-hmm. He didn't throw a single interception. Numbers-wise, we look at it and we say, okay, five touchdowns. The man threw for 148 yards. It wasn't for 348 yards, 400-plus yards. It was for 148 yards. What does that tell you? He completed 14 to 20 passes for five touchdowns, not a single interception. We appreciate the fact that you're succeeding Drew Brees. You spent the year under him. We watched Sean Payton tutoring you as well. You beat out Taysom Hill because you came into camp with questions as to whether or not Taysom Hill was going to be the starter. And I give credit where credit is due. He didn't make mistakes. And he executed, and he deserves a lot of credit, and he reminded us he is a starting quarterback in this league, and that touchdown pass to Harris was something special. Make no mistake about that. So that was a beautiful thing as well. But in the end, Deontay Harris, to be exact, all I'm saying is that in the end, We see Jameis Winston. He's back. The biggest thing to peel from him is there were no interceptions. Right. That's the biggest thing.
Right. It's layup stuff here. This is layup. And I hear what you're saying. You're talking about, I wanted to see the God in numbers. I wanted to see the big numbers. Jameis Winston gave you that. You talked about 2019. He put up 5,000 yards in 2019. He started his career off throwing back-to-back 4,000-yard season. We've seen him go up the field with the ball. We've seen him throw it all around the field. See, what you call an issue and a liability, not throwing the ball deep, I call a great asset because that's what he needs to do right now. He needs to learn how to play the short game. And he played the short game all game. He threw that deep pass in the fourth quarter for a touchdown. He brought everybody up short and beat them deep. That's what I said. Says, wow, this kid can do it. Because before, we thought he was a gunslinger, slinging this thing anywhere and everywhere. But yesterday, he made decisions before he shot that gun.
He reminded us of his potential. What I'm trying to say to you is that competition matters. And considering how atrocious Green Bay was.
That team was in the NFC.
I'm not talking.
Championship game.
Of course they were in the NFC championship game.
Right,
they did not. They had, seven padded practices, all training camp.
Yep.
Okay, only two where the starters participated and what have you. We could sit up there and look at that as a reason, because Keyshawn and I were talking about that this morning. We could look at that as a reason as to why they were ill-prepared. But make no mistake about it, they were ill-prepared. All I'm trying to say to you is that you're playing with house money at the time you threw that touchdown pass. You're looking at Green Bay and how they were playing. They were just god-awful. I want to see what he does in the weeks to come. You pass for 148 yards.
We're going
to see that.
You
play the short game. I give you credit where credit is due. It's not like I don't believe in him. I don't believe he's a scrub. I know Jameis Winston can play. But, again, you succeed in Drew Brees now. So we're going to see what happens.
We would all like more information all the time. But the key is to make a decision with the information you have. That's what CEOs have to do. That's what you have to do here. I want to hear about what you're going to see for the next 7-8 weeks.
We got this information right now. You are not the CEO. Certainly not here.
Understand,
it's
one game. I'm the CEO of Micromedia, just like you. We got to make decisions on one week. And the decision we make right now is what Jameis Winston has done. It's incredible.
You mentioned Drew Brees, and I thought it was really funny last night on NBC when he was saying that the deep ball's back, you know, like making fun of himself, essentially, because he couldn't throw it. We were able to see that with Jameis. But Jameis saying that he was most proud of the fact when he did throw it away and he took care of the football, not the touchdowns that he made. And that's really what we wanted to see from him.
It was an incredible change in turn for Jameis. I was happy to see it.
For sure. All right, more games to get to. It went down to the wire in an AFC battle. Baker Mayfield and the Browns traveled to KC to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Mahomes talked about how important it is to win early for playoff seeding, and he did just that, coming from behind in the fourth to get the job done. 33-29. Baker, 21 of 28, 321 yards, one INT. Mahomes, 27 of 36, 337 yards, three TDs. Here's Baker after the game.
Obviously, I mean, their offense is extremely talented and extremely efficient, but more so just about us doing our job. And, you know, we were calling some shot plays because they were working, and we weren't taking negative plays. And so you can, you know, as Kevin's calling plays, he feels comfortable. If we're not taking negative plays and you know, we're taking check downs and moving the chains on those shot plays, and he's going to keep doing that. So that's the aggressive play calling, and it's just the fact that we fell behind the chains in the second half in that fourth quarter that, you know, we hurt ourselves. But, you know, that's what happens when you play a great team like the Chiefs. They're going to take advantage and win.
Yeah, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes specifically, 11-0 in September, 35 past eight. Michael, are you encouraged or discouraged by Cleveland's loss?
Listen, I when I say discouraged, I understand the sense in which I say discouraged. Mm-hmm. Like, these dudes played almost a perfect game. They played a perfect game for the talent they have on the football field right now. They thought last year, if we wouldn't have made that fumble, we would have won. If Rashad Higgins don't make that fumble over the goal line, maybe we win that game. They had a shot. They played the perfect game. They didn't punt the ball to the fourth quarter. Until the fourth quarter, they were able to run the ball. Baker Mayfield threw for over 300 yards. They played the perfect game and still earned that L. That right there says, wow. And I'm going to tell you this, and I can tell all the people in Cleveland right now, you will never beat the Kansas City Chiefs without Odell Beckham Jr. You will never beat him. And that told me that it showed up yesterday. You're going to have the ability to make some explosive plays. Okay, and that's what happened. They running the ball, they're scoring. They kept them to 10 points in the first half. 10 points. They scored 23 in the second half because sooner or later, the dam broke. You kept Patrick Mahomes down, but then sooner or later, you found Tyreek Hill on a big play. It's just too dynamic of an offense. You'll never beat Kansas City without the dynamic play of Odell Beckham Jr. or somebody like Odell Beckham Jr.
Michael Irvin.
Is Odell Beckham Jr. expected back this season?
Yes, he is.
Then what the hell are you worried about? That is just a ridiculous take that you just gave. Let me explain. You just finished talking about, listen.
Go ahead.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
Fresh off an AFC divisional playoff game in which they lost by 5 points, 22-17.
Right.
The Cleveland Browns show up against Patrick Mahomes, against Tyreek Hill, against Travis Kelce and the crew, with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy still coaching as head coach and offensive coordinator, respectively. And what do? It's a four-point game. They have the ball, and Baker Mayfield made a foolish throw, trying to throw the ball out of bounds, got his legs tied up, couldn't get it, got the ball intercepted. Right. That was the lone mistake pretty much he made. There was a couple of throws. He got to make a couple of throws. There was a couple of throws that he missed. One he underthrew late in the fourth quarter. That was crucial, and I get all of that. But for the most part, when we look at how he played, and we look at Nick Chubb, who, by the way, fumbled, and he normally doesn't do that, both him and Kareem Hunt averaged 5.5 yards a carry, okay? Y'all were in this game in position to possibly win this game on the final possession, and you're going to sit here and use the word discouraged. Let me tell you something. You getting caught up in the sauce of the Cleveland Browns, and everybody talking about or acting like they're champions. This is a team, a franchise that's been moribund for quite some time, came back to relevancy last year. Andrew Berry doing a great, great job as an executive. You got Kevin Stefanski doing a great job as a head coach, coaching Baker Mayfield, and all of this stuff is happening where you're in the mix, but you don't have Odell Beckham Jr. I'm telling you, there's a reason to be encouraged, because once Odell Beckham Jr. gets back, you might have a better chance. Now, you know me. I'm picking the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm rolling with my Steelers, which we will get into later. But my point is, yesterday, you talk about, and I do believe Michael Irvin did say, it's about the evidence that is placed before you now. And the evidence that is placed before you now says the Cleveland Browns are a legitimate bona fide threat because of what we saw and who we saw them do it against. And you can't say discouraged. Even I can't be discouraged by what I saw from them. No, you're wrong.
Listen to me. A bona fide threat to do what? A bona fide threat to do better than what Cleveland. No. What you just said was, look at where Cleveland's been. And right now, why would you be discouraged? Because you're measuring it off where Cleveland's been. And all the fact that they are even in this game should be a good thing for them. Now, I'm saying, no. They want to win a championship, right? Mm-hmm. They don't want to just be in this game. They want to win a championship. And you're not going to beat Kansas City.
Without Odell.
But Odell is going to be back. Playmaker on that football team.
But Odell is going to be back.
No doubt he's coming back. But I'm telling you, they got to integrate him back into that offense. Why do you think Tennessee went and got Julio Jones? Because they done went in there and tried to run and beat Kansas City. And he can't do it. You got to be able to make explosive plays to match them. And winning games, Cleveland, that's one thing. Winning championship, that's another. That's what they're going for. And I'm telling you, they have to be discouraged until they get that dude back.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the reigning two-time AFC champion.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And I'm saying to you, if Odell Beckham Jr. is in the game, all right, according to you, you're like, listen, this is what
they win a game.
This is what it takes to beat them.
On the road,
so my
too.
Point is, why would I be discouraged if I know all I got to do is get my playmaker back and he's due back next week?
Because you've been walking around sipping the Kool-Aid that everybody kept talking about even last year when they were saying, we really don't need Odell.
That
we can get him.
Me.
So you walked around and you thought you were ready. You went in, and when Rashad Higgins fumbled last year, you said, ah, even if he wouldn't have fumbled, we had him. We'll get him next time. And you got him this time, and the same thing happened. That's why you will be
all
disturbed.
I'm telling you, first
because
of all,
you were wrong in your assessment.
First of all, you got the wrong dude, because that certainly wasn't me, because I've been riding Pittsburgh all day, every day, and I was sitting there telling people to pump the brake because you had a quarterback that had more commercials with Progressive than he did wins until last season when he won 11 games. This go round, I'm looking at Cleveland, and I'm saying, yo, they a big-time team. I give them their respect. Right. I believe, based off of what I saw yesterday, they got a big-time chance to come out of the AFC. I can't ignore that. Right. That's what I'm saying.
And I agree they need OBJ.
To play the perfect game and walk away with a loss right there. That was.
Well, clearly it wasn't perfect if Baker Mayfield threw the interception at the end of the game.
It was a perfect game by what their ability allows them to play right now. Is what I'm saying.
Defense is suspect.
I hope there's chemistry with Odell and Baker, because that's been an issue in the past.
Well, see, that's what it don't matter. You got to make it happen.
Okay.
Because that's what I'm saying. Now you know, no matter what, it ain't your choice. It's your force.
You have to force it to happen.
Period.
All right.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Raise your hand if you're guilty of underestimating the Arizona Cardinals. The NFC West won a perfect 4-0, three of the teams on the road. But Kyler Murray, really one of the major stories of the day, just dominating a contender in the AFC in the Titans, 38-13. Five total TDs for Kyler, and no one could lay a hand on him. Oh, and Chandler Jones just adding a cool 5 sacks on the day.
I won't let our offense get complacent. We know how good we can be. We know the sky's the limit for us.
It's unfortunate. It is disappointing. There is no other way to put it. It sucks when you lose. Sucks when you get your ass kicked. All the credit to Cliff and his staff and those players. You know, they beat us and outcoached us.
Our quarterback, Dan Orlovsky, joining us now. Good to see you, Dan. Gentlemen, looking so nice, suited and booted. I'm going to start with the playmaker. Was this more about good Arizona or bad Tennessee, Michael?
Oh, my God. I Tennessee did play bad, but I think this was more about Arizona and more in particularly about that guy we just talked about, because you could see the levels that he's starting to take and take control of a football game. I mean, when we first started watching Kyler Murray, I said, oh, look at his feet. You know, you watch his feet because he's so quick. I mean, he's like Lamar Jackson in that sense where he can give you fits with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, then he's turning around throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's throwing the ball. He's giving you the combination of Lamar Jackson and then Patrick Mahomes, which is a dangerous combination. And then he has, of course, DeAndre Hopkins out there that can throw in, catch anything you throw anywhere in the area code. He's answering that call. And I'm telling you something, man, this team right here is a surprise. We don't give them credit because there is such a tough division.
Mm-hmm.
They go up against the 49ers. They go up against the Rams. They go up against that beast, Russell Wilson. But this team right here is for real, and this was about the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, let me say this to you. Your answer's wrong. Your explanation is easily stomached. You're wrong when you talk about the Arizona Cardinals, because it was really about Kyler Murray. It was really about that. Nobody else from Arizona. Listen, it was really about Kyler Murray, all right? Just him. If you want to talk defensively, Chandler Jones, 5 sacks, it is what it is. But we got to get to the Tennessee Titans. I don't know how you can walk away not really, really putting an eye on how disappointing Tennessee was.
This is a team that everybody looked at coming out of the AFC South. You got Ryan Tannehill. You got Derrick Henry. You still got A.J. Brown. You picked up Julio Jones. He gives you about 3 receptions for 29 yards. I think, what did A.J. Brown have, like 4 receptions, like 49 yards or something along that line? So you weren't running the football effectively. Your damn sure wasn't passing the football effectively. You certainly wasn't protecting Ryan Tannehill effectively enough. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you got this miniature dynamo in Kyler Murray, who's just, I mean, he's cat quick. He was making defenders look silly. We get all of that. All I'm saying is that when we look at Arizona, maybe we're underestimating them a little bit. I have an appreciation for what they're bringing to the table. Please don't get me wrong. When I look at the NFC West, obviously as tough as divisions, San Francisco, L.A., Seattle, and now Arizona. But what I walked away feeling was like, damn, I expected better than this from Tennessee. Maybe you would have lost, but to look like you got pumped, beat up, giving up 5 sacks like that to one individual, can't run the football, can't throw the football. I did not expect all of that to happen to Tennessee, and that's why.
Well, you were wrong because you believed in Ryan Tannehill. I can end that with that right here.
Yeah, you're wrong. And you're right, which is disappointing because I had this whole plan to come on and be like, wait, I grew up watching Michael Irvin ball. But I was going to be like, and I respect you, but now you're in a little bit of the world I'm in, so I was throwing haymakers.
So we brothers now, right?
You're wrong.
We brotherhood.
We're right.
Go ahead. Let's get it on. Let's get it on.
This is why.
Go ahead.
I walk away from that game going, man, Arizona doesn't look like a playoff team. They look like a team that can win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
They look like a championship team because if we look at the teams and go, who or what do you need to be a Super Bowl winning football team? You better have a quarterback that's special. Well, year 3 for Kyler Murray looks like the start of year 3 for Josh Allen last year.
Okay.
Special. You got to have a defense that could be opportunistic. They don't got to be dominant, but opportunistic.
Get to the quarterback.
Chandler Jones
can get to the quarterback.
Dominant and opportunistic. You got to have pieces, right?
Okay.
DeAndre Hopkins balled out. Christian Kirk gets the ball out. Now you got these tailbacks that can make some plays. So you got the pieces around a quarterback that looks special, a coach that's starting to maybe get it when it comes to like the scheme of an offense, and a defense that can get after it. I expected Tennessee to be somewhat representative of they were for the past 2 years, replacing a new head or a play caller. I get all that.
Right.
But when I watched that game yesterday, I go, that doesn't look like a team that might contend in their division. That looks like a team, if they continue to play like that and that quarterback is that unstoppable, they look like a team that can represent the NFC and go to the Super Bowl. That's what it says to me way more about Arizona than Tennessee just didn't play well.
Well, look, this is the thing that, see, I love it. This is cute.
And y'all overhyped Tennessee.
Wait a minute. This is what the cute part is about the NFL family and stuff like that.
Don't start that because you were wrong.
I'm not wrong. Do I look like I think I'm wrong? I'm not wrong.
Me and Mike Irvin, same guy.
There you go. Here's the deal. I'm looking at Arizona, and we know what we're going to say. And we got to remember, I'm watching you on NFL Live. I'm watching you every weekend on the NFL Network. I'm looking at y'all. I'm going like this. Okay. I'm going to watch in 3 days. 3 days. I'm going to give it 3 days. Dan Orlovsky's going to be on TV.
Well, now we have to see what they do against Seattle and Los Angeles and San Francisco. Because they look the part.
Right.
But we got to see. We don't see enough. I'm talking about, okay, so if you got to do that, you're still unsure. They look better yesterday.
And I'm saying why they looked as good as they look may very well be a product of what Tennessee wasn't compared to what they were supposed to be. You ain't supposed to look like that. You got to be able to run the football a little bit. You got to have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. You can't look like that in your passing game. You can't have an offensive line that gives up 5 sacks to Chandler Jones, and they go come to me and go like this. Well, Tennessee just had a bad game. Really?
No, I said they just had a bad game.
They called a bad game.
Your expectations were different than my expectations, Stephen A.
Okay.
I expected regression from this offense because you usually can't continue to produce in the run game like Henry has. You lost one of the best play callers in the NFL who's now a head coach. You lost your tight end pieces in Jonnu Smith. So I expected some regression. What I wanted to see from an Arizona team was like, show me that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was domination. And I will go back to it. Remember when Lamar bursted onto the scene and we're like, this team looks different.
Right.
It looked like that. Remember Josh Allen week one? I went on television in week one last year and said Josh Allen's going to be in the MVP conversation. Kyler Murray's going to be in the MVP conversation.
And you have domination in this league a couple ways. Now, you can have it with a big running back like Derrick Henry. You dominate. Or you can have it with I don't know what this dude gonna hit us with, and you don't know what Kyler Murray can hit you with, and that gives him an incredible upper hand.
There's no disputing that. I'm not arguing that. Are you two sitting here with a straight face on national television in front of the camera? Okay. You're telling me that with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, y'all had no expectations from their passing game?
I had no expectations. I expected regression. Knowing offense and calling plays are a different world. You know this, right? A lot of great coaches can't call plays. A lot of great coaches
that
know football.
Why not tell the truth here? Why not say you expect regression? Because it's Ryan Tannehill, and we've hidden him with Derrick Henry. And now you give him these two beasts out here where he has to drop back and make some real plays. And you say, I don't know if I can see this.
It's also this.
Let's call it like it is. That's really what it is.
It's also this. They didn't get to play their style of football, Stephen. Tennessee wants to come out, throw the ball, get the lead, and then run the football. When Kyler went bombs, 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 and took the lead quickly, Chandler Jones sacked. Hold on, game's over. Can't play their style.
You know as well as I do this. There's been plenty of instances over the years with Ravel as the coach, with Ryan Tannehill there, with Derrick Henry in the backfield, where they didn't have a lead, and they just methodically went about the business of beating you down. That's happened with Tennessee over the last couple of years.
Way less than you think.
I'm not saying that most of the time it happens. I'm saying it happened enough where we know. We can't look at it and go like this. Well, they expected to get a lead against Arizona, but then all of a sudden they got it and they hit the panic button. That's not who they are.
I'll ask you this.
I don't necessarily agree with Dan either. On them coming out, zip, 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 and running up. No. They come out and you
Can
think,
I ask you
you're
a
not
question?
Thinking pass. You're thinking run first, and then you get opportunities to make a play.
I got to ask you this. All right, I know Henry couldn't do anything, and obviously they couldn't touch Kyler Murray. But, Dan, going back to them potentially being in a Super Bowl, if Arizona gets in, who doesn't get in?
From the NFC West?
In the playoffs.
Yeah, the playoffs. You meant playoffs.
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
No, you're saying they're quarterback team. They're a Super Bowl team.
San Francisco. With the way their defense kind of let up that lead against the Lions yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo played well yesterday. I still want to see Jimmy Garoppolo play consistently well, not give the football away. All I'm saying is, I would be less surprised if the Arizona Cardinals a month from now are 4-0 than I would be if the Tennessee Titans were a 2-2 football team. I'd be less surprised. Because I was that impressed by their performance yesterday.
I got to think about that. You might be right about that. I got to think about that because I'm looking at, listen, Kingsbury's had enough time, that's for sure, to get is that because you know me, I've never thought he deserved a job.
Right.
No knock against him and the job he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that he didn't get, to me, he never deserved a job. Kyler Murray being there, doing what he's been doing just as a freak athlete and being able to be the dual threat that he is because the brother can throw and he can run with the football. And it would be nice to see them on the same page this year. And certainly you got the weapons now because you got A.J. Green up in there. You've got DeAndre Hopkins up
Kirk
there. You've
got Kirk
there. Rondale Moore.
You got a whole bunch of weapons.
Right,
so
you got
J.J. Watt there now with Chandler Jones and the crew. There's really no excuse. This is the year for Arizona. I get all of that. I'm not talking about them winning the game.
Right.
I'm talking about the dominance in which they won the game. I certainly expected better from the Tennessee Titans. Y'all did too. Y'all didn't expect them to get shellacked like that.
You went a little too far with the San Francisco team. They're not ready for San. Don't worry about it. You're doing good, though. Keep working. You're doing good.
You're really breaking too far things with down. San Francisco.
I'm just
like
saying, you're a little too far with
that.
I mean,
by the way, Mike Murray got some grip on him now. He's trying to whisper in my ear. I feel like I'm getting gripped up.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. So we're not going to have Michael Irvin on the show and not talk about Dallas. Despite a monster game from Dak Prescott on Thursday night, the Bucs prevail at home 31-29. Michael Irvin, I need some eye contact, sir.
Yes,
what happened to your Cowboys?
What do you mean asking me that kind of a question? What happened to my Cowboys? My Cowboys went in and played the champions and played a championship game. And boy, you can't, Stephen A., you were wrong. You were wrong. Well, you're not wrong. You sat right here. You said, oh, Zach Martin, doesn't matter that he's out. They are about to get blown out. It doesn't matter who you are.
I never said blown out.
You said Dallas was going to get killed.
I never said blown out.
Nothing mattered.
I said they were
going to
lose.
Oh, no. You
and they lost.
Come on, man. You can't rob the Cowboys of that performance.
Really?
It was an incredible, incredible performance. I've talked about this. We talked about what we wanted from week one. Everybody wanted information. Yeah. We got information. That was an incredible performance by the Dallas Cowboys. You're worried about that defense. And the defense, yeah, they gave up 30 points, over 30 points. But, man, they got some turnovers. Mm-hmm. That was Tom Brady. And I'm going to tell you something now. Tampa looked great. It wasn't like they stumbled up like you're talking about these other teams and caught Green Bay bad or caught Tennessee bad. Oh, they caught Tampa good and they put it on Tampa good. I know. I wanted to call you so bad with a minute and a half left. I had my finger on the button. I was just waiting.
But you were smarter than that.
Oh, my God.
But you did it.
Tom Brady sitting on the sideline. You know how he always sitting on the sideline like he ain't paying attention. I just want to thump him in his head. He's just paying like he ain't paying attention. No, darn well, he's paying attention to everything. And I said, oh, please don't give him no time on the clock. But I'm going to tell you this. And you got it, man. I don't care where you are in your heart and how you feel about the star on the side of the helmet. You had to have a leap in your heart when you saw Dak Prescott. He put on the greatest performance that you've ever seen from a quarterback coming back off of major injury like he did.
Oh,
facing
my
the circumstances
God.
And the challenges.
Oh,
it's the greatest performance you've ever seen.
Was your heart fluttering when that happened?
Oh, my God. Did you not see that?
Was it a little pitter-patter?
Honestly, did you not sit back and say, oh, my God, this dude looks incredible?
I did, but Ezekiel Elliott, I was like, what's going on?
That was the number one run defense, you know. That was number one run defense last year. They're great at stopping the run. And we talked about the number one highest graded guard by Pro Football Weekly wasn't even in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the highest graded guard since 2016. What Zach Martin wasn't even in the game. So, yeah, it was going to be tough running. But. They were able to turn to that short passing game, and the way Dak Prescott played, I know all that time away, and I've been there. I know when you go through that kind of thing where you're out and you're away from your team, you go through stuff mentally, and I went through stuff mentally. It took me to a dark place, and I wondered where would it take Dak, and I saw it right in the midst of that game. You saw how much better he's playing pre-snap and shoulders up, getting the ball out of his hands in 2.3 seconds. Faster than even Tom Brady. It was incredible.
Step back was a setup for a comeback, Stephen A. You know what it is.
You are comical.
What do you mean?
It's hilarious. First of all, that was a great performance, Stephen.
You can't even mess with that.
First of all, Dak Prescott put forth a great performance. Props to him. I got that. His brother, him, his sensitive self. Everybody dogging my brother. They're not dogging your brother. Everybody loves Dak Prescott, man. We know he's great. We know he's going to be greater. We understand that. But here's my question, Michael Irvin, because there's a couple of things I want to point out that. First of all, CeeDee Lamb was targeted 15 times.
He got 7 receptions. I ain't going to count the drops. I couldn't do that, but I ain't going to do that to you, right? By the way, did you remember that you actually have a running back in Ezekiel Elliott? Or did y'all just forget? Did y'all just forget? Why is Dak Prescott throwing the football 58 times? Okay, let me get to the defensive side of the ball. Let me get, by the way, the Zach Martin thing. I understand that Zach Martin's out, but now Lael Collins, I mean, you know, he's been suspended for 5 games, but we won't go there. There's always something. There's always something, okay? What did I say? What do I always say, Molly, about the Cowboys? Just wait. Take your time. Somehow, some way, they won't let you down. There's always something. So your guard was down. Now your right tackle's out, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get to the defensive side of the ball, okay? We saw Tom Brady and them coming. Now, you weren't foolish like Swaggoo, a.k.a. Marcus Spears.
What'd he say?
FaceTimed me when Tampa Bay scored. And I went like this. There's a minute and 24 seconds left on
this.
Tom Brady, all he needs is a field goal. I said, what you done? And then, sure enough.
Good impulse control
sure
by
enough,
you, Michael.
When I sat up there and when Tom Brady didn't want it, I sat and suck up, hit the field goal to win it all. What did I do? Why? Listen, what I try to tell you this, the Cowboys, they look good, man. They look beautiful throwing the football. Whenever they choose to run the football, Ezekiel Elliott is still back there, okay? And it's beautiful that you picked up Micah Parsons and you got Leighton Van Der Esch out there and you got DeMarcus Lawrence back there. And I get it. Your secondary is still suspect, but that's neither here nor there. In the end, what it comes down to is this. Quinn is your defensive coordinator. They ain't playing the 3-4 anymore. They're back to their Tampa 2. We get all of this stuff. In the end, what happens is the Cowboys find a way to get the L. And you can sit up there and say all you want to say, Michael. All you want to say. All I know is this. Thursday night, post-game, there was fireworks. There was confetti.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of people out there in Tampa. And they were like, yo, we handled our business. The Cowboys went home with an L. That is the reality of the situation. Take your time. I'm going to wait because we know eventually they keep telling us it's coming.
If it was only a 1-game season.
Right.
I can bite into this pie you serve.
That's right.
But it's not a 1-game season. And if it was another team,
it's
some other
the same
team,
season.
But this is the champions.
It's the
These
same
were
season.
The champions.
Really?
They went back into the Lions' den where the champion had just won their Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They faced that defense that you talked about so great over defense. That went up and down the field with that defense. Oh, the defense, same defense that took out Patrick Mahomes. He drove him up and down the field. Like driving Miss Daisy, he made drives.
Can I say one thing?
Scored every time.
Are you going to conveniently forget Whitehead didn't play, Bunton separated his elbow, okay? So you were already, your secondary was already decimated against one of the elite passing attacks in football. You just gonna forget that about Tampa Bay, that they had injuries? You just gonna forget that.
But you're gonna talk about the run game and forget that Zach Martin ain't in the game. Yeah, yes, I'm gonna forget that.
No, no.
I'm gonna talk about the results of the game. That's what I'm gonna talk about.
But Stephen A., can I say one thing? How come you can give the Browns props for what they did against the Chiefs, but not the Cowboys for what they did against the Bucs?
Because the Cowboys have a history. And the history.
Do you want to leave, Michael?
Can we make this proclamation now that we have current information?
No, uh-uh.
Can we let all that old data go? Because Cowboys not winning a Super Bowl in the year 2000 won't have anything to do with what's going on in 2021. But game one,
may I answer that? I would grant you your wish if we were just talking about Super Bowl. I recall 3 years in a row when the Dallas Cowboys went 8-8 back-to-back-to-back and lost the last game of the regular
season
with a division crown on the line. Hold on, I got more. I recall, you know, suspensions coming about. I recall injuries coming about at the wrong time, and I don't knock them for that. I recall them. Mike McCarthy gets the job last year. This man is talking about they're going to be so fly and so fly. Yeah. Mike McCarthy goes up and hires. I mean, he hired the defense coordinator, Mike Nolan. This is last year.
Right,
defense coordinator, Mike Nolan, who last time we saw him, he was in Atlanta with their horrible defense in 2014. He was so bad, nobody would hire him for 6 years. But Mike McCarthy hires him. I'm just saying that every single time we look at the Cowboys, all right, something happens for them to get in their own way. So my point is, my argument is consistent.
They beat themselves.
They beat them. Now, that's if they were just losing the better team. If they were losing the better team. If they were losing the better team, if they were losing the better team, I wouldn't say nothing. But the point is, the Dallas Cowboys, if they're going to lose, they're going to lose to Tampa Bay one day. All right? They're going to come and lose to the Eagles, even though the Eagles look good. They're going to lose to the Eagles another. It's who they are. It's just wait. Just wait.
If they are who they are, who we saw Thursday night, you just wait because they will be in so far.
Okay.
And let me answer this right there. Leo Collins being out, that's okay because we can move Zach to tackle.
Really?
And with Dak getting rid of the ball in 2.3 seconds, you can make it work on the inside for a few games. Don't expect that to be a big problem.
I will remind you, I was looking for Michael Irvin for about 3 months last year. Couldn't find him.
Oh, I'm right here.
He's here now.
Oh, I'm right here.
And
all right,
the Cowboys we gotta go.
I'll
leave you with
this. They look
the only team in the NFC East to win this week, that would be the Eagles, who nobody predicted.